Marriage Today presents Overcoming Fear by Jimmy Evans.
This is Luke 22. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he suffered and died. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. In verse 44, it says Jesus was in agony. And that word agony is the Greek word agonia, and it's, we get our word agony from that, and it means two things. It means great fear, or it's emotional stress to its max. But it also means a contest or a wrestling match or a fight for victory or something like that. And so Jesus here experienced more fear than any human being has ever experienced. Remember, this is Luke's gospel, and Luke was a physician. And Luke records something here that no other gospel writer records. It's called hematohidrosis, and I'm proud of myself for remembering that. That was my goal all week long, was to be able to say that, and now I can forget it. Hematohidrosis, and that is when you're under so much stress that your blood vessels under your skin constrict and then rupture and then empty into your sweat glands. Jesus was under so much stress and emotional pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was under so much fear there that his blood vessels ruptured, and Luke says he began to sweat these huge drops of blood. Jesus, you know, when you talk about why we serve Jesus and why we love him so much, he endured for us what no other person has endured. Literally, Jesus took hell on himself so we could have heaven. He suffered what no other person has ever suffered, and he was under more fear there than any person has ever experienced, but he overcame it. And I want to talk to you about how he overcame it. We just read, by the way, how he overcame, and we're going to learn in this message how we can do the same thing. And there's a question I want to start with, and the question is this, and that is, Jesus never experienced fear any other time in his life. The Bible never records that Jesus ever experienced fear outside of the Garden of Gethsemane here. And so the question here is, why did he experience it now? He had been on a ship that almost shipwrecked, one night almost sank. He wasn't afraid then. Nazareth, they tried to throw him over a cliff. He wasn't afraid then. The Pharisees tried to kill him many times. He wasn't afraid then. Why was he afraid now and not those other times? Let me give you several reasons why. And the first is identification as a fellow human. Remember, Jesus is a human being. It's not that he was. He still is. He's the man Christ Jesus. He's fully God, but he's also fully man. And on the earth, even though he was God, he still lived in a physical body. And here's what Hebrews 4 says. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points. Now remember that when you're praying. In all points he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in all things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. You realize if Jesus wouldn't have experienced fear on the earth, he couldn't be compassionate for us when we pray. You know, we all experience fear. I experience fear just about every single day. And it's one of the major themes of my prayer life with God is, God, I'm concerned about this. I'm afraid about this. And it's an opportunity every day that we have to go before a throne of grace. Aren't you glad it's the throne of grace? Aren't you glad that we don't have to deserve it and we don't have to have our act together to go before God's throne of grace? We can be falling apart, and he's great with that, because when we go before Jesus and say, Lord, I'm scared. He says, I know exactly what you're talking about. Understand, when Jesus, the second reason that Jesus was afraid is he knew everything that was about to happen to him in detail. You know, a lot of us, we fear because of what we don't know. You know, we're getting on an airplane or we're going someplace or we're thinking about tomorrow and we don't know what's about to happen, but we fear. And if there's anything worse than not knowing, it's knowing. Jesus knew every slap, every time they were going to spit on him, they were going to pluck his beard out, they were going to put a crown of thorns on him, they were going to mock him, they were going to whip him, they were going to make him carry his cross, they were going to nail him to the cross, that he would become sin and sickness. All of the sin of the world, all the sickness of the world would come on his body. The Father would turn away from him and demons would feast on him for several hours. That's why the sky grew black on Friday afternoon before Jesus died. Because God the Father didn't want the world to have to witness what was happening to his Son on the cross as he became sin. Jesus knew every detail. And let me say this, when I go back to the point of saying he can sympathize with us, you say, what was Jesus afraid of? He was afraid of rejection. He was afraid of suffering. He was afraid of humiliation. He was afraid of he knew every single thing that was about to happen to him. So when we go before Jesus, our high priest in heaven, and we say, Lord, I'm afraid of being rejected by these people. I know exactly what you're talking about. Lord, I'm afraid my family, everybody in my family gets this particular disease, and it's genetic, and I'm afraid that I'm about to get sick too. I know exactly what you're talking about. Jesus experienced that fear right here in this moment. There's another reason that Jesus felt fear, and that's because he was under absolute attack by Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane, the spirit of fear. And that's what Satan is. He's the ultimate spirit of fear. Remember back in Luke chapter 4 and in Matthew chapter 4, it records that there was this time when Jesus fasted for 40 days, then Satan came to tempt him in the wilderness, and Jesus won that battle. And this is Luke 4:13. Interesting. This is about Satan. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Now, you can always tell the nature of a person by what they do with vulnerable people. A good person sees someone who's vulnerable and they help them and support them and protect them. That's what Jesus did. That's what good people do. An evil person sees someone vulnerable and they prey upon that person. And Satan's evil. And it says that Satan lost the contest in the wilderness, so he left Jesus until he became weak, until there was an opportune time. And here's the opportune time. Jesus is about to die. He's being betrayed by one of his disciples. He's crying out in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Satan jumps all over him with the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. It's not just an emotion. It's a demon spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God will never use fear in our lives. God will never use fear to lead us or to do anything in our lives, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power. God gives us power and love and a sound mind. Satan not only puts fear on us, he puts fear on us so he can control us. Hebrews chapter 2. Inasmuch then as the children, that's us, have partaken of flesh and blood, being human, as Jesus likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus died on the cross so he could defeat Satan and take back the power over death, because Satan uses the fear of death to control us all of our lives. And you say, well, I've got a phobia. You know, I've got a particular fear. Almost every fear can be traced back to the fear of death. You say, well, I'm afraid of being poor. Well, most of us are not just afraid of being poor. Poverty can cause death. I mean, it can cause starvation and problems. You say, well, I'm afraid of heights. No, you're not afraid of heights. You're afraid of splattering. You're not afraid of heights. You're afraid of falling from heights and dying. You say, well, I'm afraid of bugs. I'm afraid of critters. You're afraid of dying. That's what bugs and critters do. They can kill you. They can bite you and kill you. And so it says that Satan, through the fear of death, holds us in bondage all of our lives. Let me tell you the good news. Jesus died on the cross, and defeated Satan and death and rose from the grave. And Jesus said to Mary and Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will never die. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you can't die. You'll never die. I will never experience death. And I'm not saying that my body one day won't wear out and die. I'm saying the minute my eyes close here, they open there. The minute I stop breathing here, I start breathing there. The minute that my senses dull here, they come alive there. I will never die. I am a Christian. Jesus defeated death for my behalf. I don't have to live in fear. If I live here, I live for him. If I die, that's even better. It's a win-win deal for a believer. But people who fear death and they don't understand what Jesus has done, they live under Satan's control. And so Jesus was under this fear so he could relate to us. He was under this fear so that God could use him as our high priest in heaven, and also because Satan was attacking him there. He knew everything that was about to happen to him, but he overcame this spirit of fear that the devil was putting on him. Now, let me say, I know there's a good fear. I know there's a normal fear that God gives us for good in our lives. And it's important that we have a healthy fear for our good. But let me tell you the difference between good fear and bad fear. How to tell the difference? Because sometimes, you know, I'm sitting here saying God will never use fear in your life for any purpose that he's going to do. And that's true. But there is a healthy fear and there's a demonic fear. Well, how do you know the difference? Well, here's some ways you can know the difference. Good fear is circumstantial, but bad fear is perpetual. Circumstantial means you're driving down the street in your car, you see a car coming at you suddenly, and that fear causes you to swerve away and to save your life or to save the life of the people in the car from you. And that fear wasn't there before that happened, and it goes away after it's over with. That's a circumstantial fear. That's good fear. Bad fear is perpetual. It's a spirit of fear. You live with an abiding sense of anxiety that something's about to happen to you. The other shoe is going to drop. I'm going to go broke. I'm going to die. Harm is going to come. There's going to be a terrorist attack. Something is going to happen to harm me, and it's abiding. Anxiety wears us out and causes us to become depressed. You just can't, your emotions can't handle long-term anxiety without bad things happening to them. God never uses this spirit of fear, this anxiety in our lives, because we can't live that way. We're not designed that way. The second thing about good fear is it's protective, but bad fear is paralyzing. Let me give you an example of this. I was with my dad one day, and I was maybe about 6 years old. We had just moved into our house, and my dad and I were walking down the street one day, and I didn't know the neighborhood well. I didn't know the neighbors or anything, but at the end of our block where the sign is, there's a sign right there in these people's front yard that is the street sign, and I didn't know they had a dog named Lucky, a big dog named Lucky. It was a bird dog. And Lucky sat up on the porch, and Lucky was one of those dogs that protected the front yard against demons and, you know, intruders and, you know, all the different things, dragons and all the things that come in the front yard. So Lucky was a dog protecting the front yard. Well, I didn't know Lucky, and I didn't know the people. And so my dad and I were walking down the sidewalk, and he was actually on the sidewalk, and I was kind of walking in the yard. And we got to Lucky's yard, and all of a sudden, Lucky comes off the front porch, and out of the corner of my eye, I see Lucky coming at me. The next thing I know, I'm on top of the street sign. I'm not on the street sign. I'm on top of it. You know where it says, like, the names of the street? I'm above that. I don't know if I did it in one jump. I don't know if I used my dad's head. I don't know how I got up there. And then I was up there, and my dad got between me and Lucky and got the dog away, and my dad had to help me down because I couldn't get down on my own. And several times after that, I went down to try to climb that sign, and I couldn't do it. You hear of, like, little ladies picking cars up and moving them, you know, when you're under this incredible fear. That's good fear. That's fear that's there to protect you. But bad fear is paralyzing. It doesn't help you to get out of trouble. It keeps you in trouble. Have you ever had one of those dreams where someone's chasing you, you can't get away? And you're in your underwear? Never mind. That's it. But I never have those dreams, but some of y'all do. But no, you know, you need to get away. You need to move away, but you just can't. That's demonic fear that's there to paralyze you and keep you from doing good. Good fear is instructive. Good fear says stop, move, swerve, whatever it is. But bad fear is confusing and fatalistic. A spirit of fear is a prophet spirit. It prophesies to you. It tells you you're going to die. You're going to die. It's going to be bad for you. Your future's bad. You're going to go broke. People just aren't going to like you. You're never going to make it in relationships. You're never going to make it in marriage. And it's not instructive. Good fear comes and instructs us and says, now do this and this will better you, and it does. But demonic fear comes to bring confusion and a fatalistic type of thinking, and that's exactly the reason that the devil uses it, because it's exactly the opposite of what God says. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I know that God has a good plan for your future, and he will never prophesy gloom and doom over you to control your life. Only the devil does those kinds of things. And so this kind of a fear that the devil uses, the last one here, is the good fear is empowering. It empowers us to live our lives safely, but bad fear is enslaving. Satan uses fear. He tried to use fear in the Garden of Gethsemane to get Jesus to do the wrong thing, to get Jesus to be enslaved to that fear. Now listen, many of us, even though we're believers, we're the slaves of fear. Maybe not the total slave. But there are things that you cannot do that God wants you to do, because the spirit of fear is telling you that you can't do those things. Let me say one other thing before I talk about how to overcome fear. Why does Satan use fear? Think about this just a minute. Why does Satan use fear in our lives the way that he does? Because he does. For the rest of your life, you're going to have to deal with this issue. You're either going to overcome fear or you're going to be overcome by fear. Let me give you the answer of why Satan uses it. It's all he has to use. He's full of it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus guides us with peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give you my peace. Colossians 3 says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. Let peace rule in your hearts. Don't be ruled by fear. Be ruled by peace. Isaiah 9 says, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Why does Jesus use peace? Because he's full of it. He thinks peaceful thoughts. He feels peaceful feelings. And Jesus is controlled by peace. And so he leads with peace. Every time you're being led by God, you'll feel peace. But as much as you know God's presence by peace, you know Satan's presence by fear. It is his presence. Satan is a defeated foe on his way to hell. He knows he's defeated. He knows he's on his way to hell. Colossians 2 says when Jesus defeated him, he made a public spectacle of him in the heavenlies. When Jesus was resurrected, he grabbed Satan by the scruff of his neck and every demon in hell and paraded them through the heavenlies and said, this is a loser here. He's been sentenced to hell. He made a public display of Satan. Satan is full of fear because he knows he's had it. He feels fear, he thinks fear, and he's controlled by fear. So he wants you to feel fear, he wants you to think fear, and he wants you to be controlled by fear. When you're feeling fear, you're feeling the presence of the devil. And I'm not saying you're of the devil. He comes to all of us. He came to Jesus himself. When you're weak, when you're struggling, when you're frustrated, when you're confused, he is not a gentleman. He is an evil devil. And on your weakest day, he'll attack you at your weakest moment. He'll attack a child. He'll attack an old lady. He'll attack someone who's infirm. He'll attack someone who's just lost a loved one. He doesn't care. He's evil. And when you sense that fear in your life, understand that's him. That's him. And he's coming to try to control you the way he's controlled. But Jesus is a Prince of Peace. So how do you overcome fear? Let's talk about this. Four things. Number one, admit your fear without shame. How do you overcome fear? Well, what did Jesus do? Now, we read Luke's account. Also, you can read Matthew and Mark's account. But here's what Jesus did. Jesus took his 11 disciples at that moment. Remember, Judas had betrayed him. So he had 11 disciples. He brought them into the Garden of Gethsemane. He took Peter, James, and John, his three best friends. He walked further into the Garden of Gethsemane with them, and he turned to them and said, I'm dying. I am just unbelievably upset right now, guys. Would you please pray with me? And then he turned and got down on his knees and he said, Daddy, Abba Father, Abba means daddy. He said, Daddy, I'm scared. I don't want to die on the cross. I don't want to do this. If there's any way, Daddy, will you let me out of this deal? Prayed it three times. Admit it without shame. We all feel fear. All of us feel fear. When I was a kid growing up, you know, I mean, I felt fear all the time. But I didn't know how to deal with fear when I was a kid. Even when I was a young man, I didn't know how to deal with fear. And I was a young man. You know, little girls or young ladies, they, you know, they get to cry. They get to scream. They get to do things like that. When you're a young boy growing up, you know, you're not very old until someone tells you you're a sissy if you do that. Boys don't get to cry and scream and things like that. You just take it. You know, you just be a man. And so as a young boy growing up, when I got fearful, I remember the way I responded to it was I was fearful on the inside. But I learned as a young boy, you stick your chest out, you stick your chin out, you just kind of get the stance. Come on. Come on. Get over here with your bad self. Just try it out. Grab all you think you can ride, and I'll give you some. But on the inside, you're going, please don't. But I didn't know, you know, that's just the way I responded. The more afraid I felt, the more macho I got. But you know, it doesn't work. And I got to a certain place in the Lord where I realized it's okay to say I'm afraid. With Karen, many times in my marriage, fear, most of us fight because of fear. We really do. When you're fighting with your spouse, most often you're fighting about your fears. You're making me feel like that I'm not going to be protected. You're making me feel like I'm not going to be provided for. You're making me feel like that I'm not a good man. And you're making me afraid. So rather than being humble and admitting our fears and bring them out in the light, we begin to fight and act macho and tough and things like that. When fear stays in darkness, understand Satan is the prince of darkness. Anything in the darkness is under his domain. You can't kick the devil off his own property. And the darkness is his property. The only thing you can do is take it and put it in the light because Jesus is full of light. And there's something incredibly healing and powerful about just simply saying, I'm afraid. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm just a human being. This is way beyond me, and I'm not going to act tough, and I'm not going to act confident because I don't feel tough and confident. I feel very, very fearful. And that's all right. Jesus understands. He's merciful with that. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with us just because we're feeling fear. I feel fear all the time about a lot of stuff. And I just have to bring it out. I need to talk to Karen about it. I need to talk to my close friends. Not everybody. I need to talk to God about it. Number two, that's what Jesus did. Number two, submit your fear to God. Admit your fear and then submit it. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus came into the garden and he said, Father, I'm afraid. Daddy, I don't want to die like this. Please take this cup away, but not my will. Your will be done. Now, here's what it means to submit your fear to God. It means my feelings are not my master. You're my master. I may be feeling afraid, but I'm not going to act on that. The second thing it means is your word is going to tell me what to do. My fear is not going to tell me what to do. I feel fearful. I feel like running away, but I'm not going to do anything unless you tell me to do it. Let me say something as a personal testimony. You know, because I live many years of my life making most of my decisions based on fear. I regret every decision I've made by fear, and no decision I've ever made by fear has turned out right. Anybody agree with what I'm saying this morning? I've never made a decision by fear that later on I thought, thank God I made that decision. That was the right choice. Every time I react by fear, let me say this. If you want to starve a monster, don't feed him. But if you want to make a monster bigger, just keep feeding it. The more decisions you make by fear, the bigger the spirit of fear gets and the more that it controls your life. Just because we're feeling something doesn't make it right. Let me say this. It was real. But was it right? Just because our emotions are real don't mean they're right. When we're feeling, many of us, the greatest regrets that we have in our lives are things that we've done when we were feeling something and it was real. The lust, the greed, the hate, the self-hate, whatever it might have been. It was real, but it wasn't right. And Jesus came to his Father and he said, Father, this is real. He was born for that. He was sent for that, but he didn't want to do it. This is real, Father, but you're going to tell me what's right. We need to learn in our lives not to be ruled by emotions, but to be ruled by God and ruled by God's word. And the more you act upon faith and what God says, the more free you will be and the more your life will turn out for good. But the more you do what your emotions say, especially when your emotions are working against the word of God, you're going to regret it. I'm saying I've made many decisions based on fear. And I regret every single one of them. Number three, focus on God's presence and love. Jesus, and I love the verse in there, verse 44, and it says, and being in agony, he prayed more. The more Jesus hurt, the more he prayed. He kept his eyes on God. This is Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. David in the Psalm says, I'm going through a death experience, but I'm going to keep my eyes on you and I don't have any fear. Psalm 16 is an amazing scripture. Listen, this is Jesus talking to himself on the way to the cross. How did Jesus overcome fear? This is what Jesus was reciting to himself as he was going to Golgotha. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Notice it says there, you won't leave me in hell, and you won't allow your Holy One to see corruption, and that's capitalized, Holy One, Jesus. When Satan was attacking Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying things like this, ready to die, bud? You ready to die? Because death is my deal. And I'm going to kill you and drag you to hell, and I'm going to keep you there forever, and no one will ever rescue you. And why don't you just look up how many people have been resurrected? It is not, not, point, not. No one has been resurrected, and you will not be the first to be resurrected. I am the Prince of Death, and no one's ever been rescued from my grasp. And I will take you to hell, and I will keep you there as the Son of God. And you will die and your body will rot in the grave. And Jesus said, I have set the Lord always before me. I'm not setting you before me in all of your lives. I'm not going to focus on what you're saying to me right now. Father, you will not let my body rot in the ground. You will not leave me in hell. In your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I'm not staying down there. I'm going up there. And that's how he made it. The devil wants to take a spirit of fear and put death in your face and rub your nose in it so that you want to lay down and die or turn around and run the other way. But God is with us. God is with us. Hebrews chapter 13 says this. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Even if I don't feel like he's here, he's there. And when you focus your life on God, you're going to be full of courage. Now listen, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing the right thing in the presence of fear. And when you put your eyes on God, it will give you the courage to do the right thing. And here's number four, way to overcome fear, what Jesus did. Face your fears by faith and watch them crumble. Jesus prayed that prayer three times, Father, let this cup pass. And he looked up and the torches of those that were coming to crucify him were coming with Judas at the front of the pack, and that was his answer. Jesus did not run, the disciples ran. But Jesus did not run, he stood his ground And he went to the cross, and here were his first words after his resurrection to the disciples. Luke 24:36. As they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace." Peace. Jesus felt fear, and he faced his fears by faith, and he'll never have fear again. He's full of peace. Now I want you to listen to me. Sometimes God will deliver you from your fears, but a lot of the time God delivers us in our fears. Sometimes you just have to face your fears. You're afraid of being vulnerable. You're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of intimacy, and you're afraid of loving people, but God wants you to love people. And in the midst of loving people, he's going to set you free. You're afraid of poverty. You're afraid of lack. You want to prosper, but God wants you to give. And in giving, you'll learn to be free. God doesn't come to us and build us an environment where we never have to face our fears. Sometimes you have to run to the roar to kill the lion. I got on an airplane one day, and I'm not afraid of flying. I've never been afraid of flying. Airplanes put me to sleep. When I get on an airplane, I love to sleep. And I fly a lot. I fly Southwest Airlines a lot. And it's my airplane. I just let other people fly with me to keep the cost down. But I got on an airplane one day, and this poor girl, she was sitting right across the aisle from me. And maybe she was about 25 or 30, terrified. And she had friends sitting right next to her, and her friends were trying to comfort her, you know, because she was terrified. Now listen, we were sitting at the gate, and she took the air sick bag out and started throwing up. The plane hadn't moved an inch, and she was already using the air sick bag. And I had to fly the entire trip with her over here right next to me. So her friends were saying, "Are you okay?" And she was just sitting there like this. Let me say, if you want to get over your fear of flying, don't drive, fly. The first time, you may be like her. Use 2 or 3 air sick bags. That's all right. Next time, you'll just use 2. Next time, you'll just use 1. Next time, you won't need 1. After you've flown 100 times, you'll be sleeping on the airplane. You won't be afraid anymore. Because what Satan wants you to do is to live your life in fear so that you're paralyzed and you cannot do what God wants you to do. And sometimes God will deliver us from our fears, but more often he'll say, "Now you stand up and you run to the roar. You stop letting that demon control your life. By faith, do what I'm telling you to do, and I'm telling you, I will rescue you." Jesus didn't run from the cross. He ran to the cross, and he died on it. And when he was resurrected, he came to his disciples and said, "Peace. The fear's gone. It was there for a moment, but God was with me, and I faced my fear, and now peace I give to you. Many of the things I was terrified of earlier in my life, today I'm no longer afraid."
This concludes session 2. Please continue with Overcoming Comparison, the next teaching in this series.